Shindetia, and welcome to this week's Inside Albania with me, Alice Taylor. This week, and over the past few weeks, I've seen a number of concerning statistics about women in Albania, things to do with fertility, things to do with emigration, things to do with domestic violence. So I wanted to invite two long-standing friends and fellow activists. I myself have taken part in many, many protests throughout my time in Albania for these matters. I decided to invite them into the studio this week for an intensive discussion on women in Albania and the issues, the challenges and the obstacles they face. I'm joined in the studio today by activist Savima Arbana and activist Ilira Chapani. Welcome to Inside Albania. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for the invitation.
It's a pleasure. Now, I want to discuss a few issues today. There are many, many things that we can talk about today, so let's see where the conversation goes. But the reason why I wanted to invite you both was I saw a statistic recently published by Instat that Albania's fertility rate, the birth rate, is one of the lowest in Europe. So this was data from 2021, and it shows that the fertility rate in Albania is the number of children from each woman is 1.21. And that's fallen from 1.32 the year before. Now, actually, the replacement rate is 2.1, so that for the population to remain at the same level. So this is significantly lower than it should be. And it's concerning as well that this is one of the lowest figures in Europe. But I don't think it's a very simple matter. And I'm wondering what you think might be behind it. Is it Albanian women are having less children? If so, why? Or is this something to do with immigration? They're having children in other countries. Ilira, I'll start with you.
I think it's a combination of factors. One is absolutely the economical factor. Like we've been asking for years and years now for more support for the family and the children. We do not have it yet. So the families have zero support. The economical situation is not good since many years. So they have to decide either, either the mothers to go to work and sustain the family or stay home and raise children and have children. So I think the most important factor is economical. Of course, the other factor is immigration, which relates to the fact that there is a very big number of Albanians leaving the country, and the age is unfortunately now the age of young professionals, which is also the age that they should create a family and have children. So I think it's happening also abroad, the birth of Albanian children. On the other side is also a social factor. The social factor is that the age of marriage is increased bit by bit every year. So we cannot compare maybe with the ages of before, because now it's a different situation. And on the other hand, it's more and more difficult to raise children in a country where there is no hope that institutions work, that there is security for the children, that there is good education, that there is a future for the children. So I think this stops the young couples, not only the mothers, but young couples to have more and more children. So they think very well before having a child. Can they support it economically? Can they do it themselves without the support of the institutions? And that, as I said, is not there, unfortunately. And on the other hand, is this child going to have a future? And I think this is not an Albanian phenomenon. It's happening everywhere, as we see. Like, the world is aging at a very fast pace. But Albania, as you know, Albania and Kosovo are the youngest countries in Europe still. So I think we should really work hard investing to keep this kind of trend, because it's important for the country, not only for a country, also for the continent.
Of course. When you talk about support, economic support from institutions, from what I understand, you can send your child to Cedra when they are, I'm not sure how old they have to be to go in But this
I think it's 3 months or even 30 days. Yeah.
So you could have a child with 3 months, you can send them, and I think it's quite a low fee. And so there is support in terms of you can send them to childcare.
But it depends on the kind of support, because you have the institutions. The problem is that what kind of service they offer. So do they offer all the service that is necessary, all the security and the well-being of the children? Or they're just, a framework of support, but not with a high-level standard service that we all look for our children.
Here we can mention also, because not all families can send children, babies, in public kindergartens. You must fulfill some criteria, criteria.
Which criteria?
So you can need to be poor, no house, something that you can't maintain your kid. And you can't afford the payment in a private kindergarten or school, for example. And this is really very difficult for many people because, as we know, before 10 years, the most the poorest make more children.
Yes.
The richest people thinking about how many because of the standard of life. They want to fulfill all conditions of the child. The poorest know, but now have changed the mentality. All know and all see that how can raise their children to have different lives from their parents, for example. So this is very, very important. And when Adira mentioned social problems, is this and is the lack of social strategies towards poorest and medium families, because we are talking about poorest of poorest, but we never have talked about the middle class of Albania, which is not existent now, because
they've left.
Not that left only, but it's poorest.
Yes,
also
yes.
This middle class, because there are many middle class people, families in Albania that are really poor. They can't afford expenses like public, private schools, courses for kids, because if you have a kid, you must think and you can put them in private courses like foreign languages, sports, artistic courses, etc., etc. This is very, very, very difficult for Albanians, and the lack of this make people to think about their kids.
You mentioned the change in mentality as well as women having children older. I mean, my mum was 43 when she had me. That was quite rare 37 years ago. But I have friends here who are having children into their late 30s and early 40s, and this is more normal now. And what about, do you think the attitude towards things like contraception has changed as well? It's easier for women to get it. It's less stigma, perhaps, for them to seek contraception?
I don't think there is stigma, but it's question of money and mentality as well, because many, many young people who have not high education or open mind towards this, they are afraid that they say, no, we must be married or we must be pregnant before 30 or till 35, etc., etc. Some very well-educated women who see to do their careers, they forget pregnancy or kids, and they said, first is career, first is this, and after I have time to do, because there are other possibilities, contraceptive or other way to be mother and to be pregnant. So, but this group, second group, is small compared with
absolutely. With the ones that do not choose not to have children, but they are forced to due to the conditions. We were speaking a little bit before about what can the institutions do to support the family and this increase in population. One of the supports, for example, is in many countries of Europe, you support the family and the children by, for example, they have every month, they have a small amount of money that they give for every child that you have. I don't remember. I think in Austria is
Introduced it in Kosovo as well.
Kosovo
makes a pregnant 500 euro.
That's why? Because first of all, you encourage parents to have children and to support yeah. them. It's not that you they do it for the money, but you support them while raising children mm-hmm. and it's easier for them. And sometimes they don't have to do extra work or two different works and leave the children in the kindergarten and in the daily care because they need to work for 12 hours, but they can balance more their responsibilities between work and life. So this is very important, and policies like this are very important. On the other hand, we were speaking about public daycares and kindergartens. One of the problems that we try to address, especially in the work with, that we do with the local government and with the women counselors, is that we're trying to build or to build public kindergartens in different cities of Albania, because unfortunately they're not. Yes. So there are many cities in Albania, like even big cities, that do not have a public kindergarten.
Or if they do, they close at 12. I heard some of
some they close at 12, some close at 3. So in some cases, what we've done with the women counselors is that we've tried to have an extra budget from the municipality for the length of the day. So to pay a little bit more the teachers there and the facilities,
like
have more shifts. Mm-hmm. So it's longer and the mothers can, usually it's the mothers who take care. So they can work a little bit more. Or on the other hand, to build from the beginning, because there are areas where we do not have public kindergartens and daycares. So we are at the level where for the family, there's all... almost zero support. We have the bonus of the baby, but that's only one time.
Yeah, I was quite surprised to get that.
It might be increased, but the problem is that it's only once. And you know, and I know, and we know, how much in these years has increased, the cost has increased to raise a child.
Yes, huge. In the 6 years I've been here. Yeah. The cost of everything has increased so much.
Especially in Albania, but also worldwide.
Yes.
So today, to raise a child costs much much more.
Compared.
So the problem is that we either support the family, as I said, in one sense economically, in one other sense also supporting by policies that strengthen the family, that invest in the family, family values, and all these other things that are important. And also, on the other hand, investing in all these facilities practical facilities that create the security of the future of the children, which are those areas. One is education, as we said. If you have a good educational system, and the other one is health. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have a good health system, is one of the main issues that a country may have, but especially families with small children may have. So we've been protesting a lot also with SEVI about medicine that lacks,
medicine
the hospitals that lack medicine for children that are vital.
Yes.
So you cannot live in a situation where your child is not treated with dignity and is not treated with priority. I always say that if we want a better society and a better country, the first thing that we should do is start investing in children and in families.
We talked about fertility and contraception as well. And there was something that popped into my mind. I don't have the statistic here, but I saw a campaign on social media recently as well about gender-based abortion. Now, I remember when I was pregnant and I said, oh, I'm having a girl. And I remember one taxi driver being visibly upset that I was having a girl and saying, oh, well, you know, next time better luck, you'll have a girl.
Yeah.
And then you rise. Yeah. You know, and I had seen statistics which showed the balance between women and men in the country is artificial.
Yeah.
It's not where it should be, which suggests that this practice is still happening. And I find this crazy as mother to a daughter. And I wanted to ask, you work with a lot of women and you have done for many, many years.
So
what's your experience with this phenomenon?
So we had a very sad experience regarding the women pregnancy, because many women, forced by their familiars, especially mother-in-law, father-in-law, husband as well, they make abortion after 12 weeks. Yes. Because they see, and we are talking about selection abortions. Mm-hmm. It has been a big problem for Albania, the first country in Europe for abortion, selective abortion.
Is it still a big problem?
It's still, but the last 3 years we don't have a real statistic about this because it was linked with a big corruption in the health system.
Yes.
Because who do this? Doctor? Why they do? For money. How they take money. This is and now there is no statistics the last 2 years about the selection abortion. But it's a ring for alarm in this context because still, especially in villages, and still we have girls that who, for the moment, they are not in Albania. They have emigrated. But they emigrate and their mentality, husband mentality, families mentality is still there where they have been. So they, as you mentioned, they are happy to born a boy. If they have three boys, two boys, one boy, they say boy, not girls. For them, it's sad to have a girl. And they force the young girls, the young mothers, to abort. This is very sad, and we must talk too much for that.
Yes, I wanted to talk, and this is probably the first time we're talking about this on TV. I'm talking about this on TV. But when we were talking about procedures carried out sort of outside of the health service, I was informed recently by somebody who worked in a public institution that doctors were taking money to perform, how to word this in a way that's appropriate for TV, to repair a woman's virginity.
Yeah, this is all problem as well. We have funny stories.
Just in villages or outside of Tirana. In fact, they're coming to Tirana to perform this in private clinics and the public sector.
Oh, yeah.
And I've written about this in the past. I wrote about it 5 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
But then to hear that this is still really quite common, I was really shocked.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask. I mean, for me, I'm really shocked, and you two are just like,
Well, unfortunately, we're on the field working. So and
How common is this? It's not really common. Yeah.
Fortunately, it's not common, but it happens.
It happens.
It's not an Albanian issue. It's an issue in these patriarchal, still patriarchal countries that. Consider virginity a must. So it's, I think this is also a problem that should be addressed by prevention in order to raise awareness that virginity is not something that should impede the creation of a family and of
character.
Yeah, so it's not a matter of of respect of
your character,
of honor or something else. So it's crazy to think that we are in 2024 and still speak about these things. So I think that there is more is needed, more work also education in the schools. That I think
for sexual education.
These are taboos that we really need to speak about, also with the young people, especially with the young people.
We must see school curricula.
Yeah.
We have had in association a very funny story regarding to this virginity with mother in Leja city, unfortunately. And mother forced the girl, and after she married, the first night, the husband was immigrant, and you find out that she was not virgin, and tomorrow morning, he took the girls and left in the house of parents.
Oh my
and
goodness.
He asked them to give back €25,000 because he spent this. And when they came to the association, we loved, the psychologists laughed and said, "The mother, you are criminals," because the mother forcing the girls to make virginity operation,
which is crazy because you know a certain percentage of women do not even like
they
are built like that. So it is really crazy.
Yeah, but
that
we need to see how are the school curricula about sexual education.
I mean, this I don't is, think we can go into.
I don't
graphing.
Know exactly when they started, but. Mm-hmm. For me, for my opinion, it's better to start since in elementary school, primary school.
What age do you think we should start?
Middle
10,
school.
10, 10, 10, 12.
We, that's
years
when we started in the UK.
I think, I don't know how is.
What age do they start learning about sex at the moment? And Is it just very basic?
It's about 14, 15 years.
I mean, that's too late.
Yeah,
there were girls in my school who were pregnant at that age.
But today, in my opinion, it's still a taboo. Not only sexual education, but also talking to parents, but also about relationships, because it's not only the sexual relationship, it's also healthy relationships.
Yes. Yeah.
Because one of the main problematics that we have, for example, now in the families, and also one of the reasons why the number of marriages is going down is also domestic-based violence.
Yeah.
And gender-based violence. So one of the main important works to prevent it and to address it is to talk to young people and to have it part of their education, in the sense of creating healthy relationships in the couple.
Yeah.
So knowing what stereotypes are, knowing what gender-based violence is, knowing when something is violence and when something is not, when it's control, when it's abuse. So every detail on these things, verbal violence, psychological violence, that we haven't even discussed before, you know?
Yes.
So we just know physical violence and sexual violence, that is all. So they need to know what are the types of violence, how can they address, who are the people that they can go to. So since the beginning, in order for them to respect each other...
This must start in family,
Now, we mentioned domestic violence and gender-based violence. Since 2006, there have been 33,628 protection orders. This is when the law on protection orders first came into force, issued by the courts. 611 people were arrested for domestic violence, and during the last year, 11 women lost their lives, a total of 159 since 2010. Mm-hmm. I thought it was slightly more than that, but these were the recent statistics I found. And the UN and other statistics say that the rate of domestic violence in Albania is higher than elsewhere in Europe. This is not to do with categorization or anything. This is based on the international definitions, the widely accepted definitions. It's higher than most other places in
Europe.
And
these figures are the top of icebergs because really they
this
are
is
much
just
more.
What's reported. The majority we know is
figures
not reported.
Are more in reality first, and during these last years, we forgot to talk about domestic violence, women violence, because we are talking about femicide. And this year was 20 women are killed by their intimate partners, lovers, family members as well. So this is a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. This is alarm. We are talking about domestic violence when more than 4,000 women have declared in the court their violence. There are, I don't know how many, 600 or 700 men are in the process of in trial about domestic violence.
You deal with these women every day. You speak to these women every day. And I'm not saying what is the reason they've suffered violence, because there's not a reason as such, but what is, in their experience, what drives their partner
to
behave in this way?
First, as we talked all the time for everything, is economic part of education and economy. These are two elements that make women strong or very, very lack to very double towards violence and to approved. Because they know that since the beginning that men, their husband is aggressive, but they don't prevent this from the first step, because they think, what to do first, where I can go. We are talking for years, because now there are laws also for the rights of property for women, because before we didn't have this. And women think, as they said, if I divorce my husband and I come back to my family, to my father's house, my father said, nothing is yours here. Also my brother said, nothing is yours. where are you going? My husband said nothing is yours. So how we can live with my kids, small kids, how we can survive without job? Because the category of women who suffer from domestic violence are in general, not all, but in general, are poor women, uneducated in context of schools that have done, and professional, because a strong woman, if she has a job, a good job and payment, she can survive without husband. If we talk about domestic violence and women violence, we are really, really, we must see carefully what to do, not with propaganda, not with figures that doesn't happen anybody.
Why are the figures so high? Why the majority of cases is male violence against women? Why are men being so violent to women?
Well, even here there is a very big combination of factors. Sevi that has dedicated her life to the support of women. She knows how hard has it been through years to improve the law, to advocate for improvements in the services that women get. But if I would start it from the beginning, I would start it from also from the cultural point of view. From the reason of marriage. So why do you get married? You get married because you're in love and you want to create a family, or you get married because you have to get married because you're at a certain age, because the society will say that you couldn't get married and all these other things. So the basis of the family starts from there. If you have a marriage that is settled by someone else or by the society and pressured by the society, of course, there are going to begin problems when other problems, as economical problems, social pressure for other things, will come in during the time that you are married. And adding children that are not easy to raise, of course, these problems start increasing and creating a crisis in the marriage. On the other side is the patriarchal mentality that we always say. When you consider women as second-hand citizens with less rights, less rights also in the family, when you consider them as a property that goes from one family to the other and has no right to have her freedom to choose, to work, to have her own life. So all these problematics, they start creating these frictions between the couple or inside the family, especially now that the women are more aware of the rights they have. And also because the economical situation, especially of the country, but I think of the region, is requesting for them to work outside the house, because it's not possible anymore. It's very difficult, at least, for one person to work in the house and for the others to live based on that salary. So now it's almost necessary for both of husband and wife to work. So these are the social part. The economical side, as we said, makes it's more difficult. But in the sense of policies and what should be made in the sense of strategies and more support, I think that as Sevi said, we have an improved law due to all the advocacy that we've done through the years. We have maybe improved awareness on the importance to invest in these cases. But on the other side, we still do not have this vision translated into budgets.
Mindful, because we're running out of time, but I want to ask one question to both of you who've been working in this sector for many, many years in this area. Are things getting better? Is there some hope, some positivity? Is it better than 10, 20, 30 years ago?
So there are two kind of conclusions, I guess. Of course, because if we talk about awareness, it's better. Because awareness makes women more confident for their rights. This is very, very important. But another side, many women have a lack of trust to many institutions that run by governments, as well, justice, municipalities that have this kind of things, and in general, the government, in general government. So we can't say it's better or it's bad. There are two, but compared with where we are now, we are in 21st century, we are in 2024, and we started to talk about domestic violence since 93, 94, we did the first law against abortion in 94, mm-hmm. and still we are talking for the same problems. And Albania is so small, it's a beautiful country, and we know each other almost, because we live in small areas. So we have very big steps and things to do towards this problem.
Edlira?
I think the situation is for sure getting better, as Sevin was saying, in this sense. For example, I work with women in politics. We have raised the representation of women in politics and the power of women in politics very highly during these years. So I think that what we should do is we should insist more and we should invest more. And as I said in the beginning, the key to a better society is start investing in the family. So with a little vision and with the right budgets, because it needs to be translated in budgets, if not, it remains on paper. I think we can address these issues much easily that are being addressed now with very few budgets and with, I think, also with a lack of focus. I think we should focus more, invest more, and be more serious about fighting this phenomena that is not good for our society.
And makes the law real. Makes the law real because
makes
the law
work.
Already.
It
just
on
paper.
It makes it work.
Sevin, Edlira, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being a voice for women's rights in Albania as well.
Me and Dea, we've been attending
for
a test
from the beginning.
My stomach.
From the beginning.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's all for this week. You can watch Inside Albania every Saturday at 5 o'clock on Euronews Albania. You can also watch all past episodes on our YouTube channel, and you can listen to us across all major podcasting platforms. Until next week, Miro Pavshin.